Yes. Welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord, particularly because today is Pentecost. Amen. What an exciting time to be here. Yes. I just love looking out there and seeing all you people in red. Boy, it's really exciting. I have red on underneath here, too, but you just can't see it. Oh, well. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Good morning. Everybody's having a good time visiting this morning and fellowshipping, and it's wonderful. My name is Rhonda Barlow, and I am your liturgist and servant for today, and I do hope that every one of you had a blessed and wonderful week. There are some announcements on the back of your bulletin. If there are any committees that you need to attend, be sure to look those ones up. There's communications, SPRC, there's other things that are going on. Just make sure that you attend those meetings to hear other people's voices and maybe make your own voice heard. Jean Clark is starting a new Bible study, and it is on May 19th starting at 2 o'clock. You have the books already? Okay. If you would like to attend that Bible study, you might want to go ahead and get your book today from Gene. He's got those, so you can kind of get a heads up on some of the reading. Also, too, it looks like your newsletters are available. Are there any other announcements that I might be missing or anything that needs to be brought forward?
One quick one. I don't know how many attended last year, but the United Methodist District, the United Methodist Men, ball game, Suns ball game is the first Friday in June, I believe.
I haven't heard anything about it this month. Yeah, I got the email,
and Sue printed one out for me. If you're interested in attending the ball game, they are having a going away reception for our district superintendent, Tim Smiley, before the game. It's $20. All you can eat hamburgers and hot dogs. If you just want to attend the game, it's $10. With the reception, it's $20. I'll have the sign-up sheet next week, and throughout the week, it'll be in the church office, Sue. Yes? Okay.
What kind of game is this?
Ball game.
Baseball game.
He'll also be throwing out the first pitch.
And Pat, our DS will be throwing out the first pitch.
Barbara, you had something?
Yes, I want to cancel the children's conference.
Bob?
Multi-service, can you answer that?
That would be better coming from Pastor Esther.
We have a new definition of salty service, and I think we have new salty service cards in your pews. We want people who have served through the church ministries. So our food pantry counts, our W.E. Cherry, things that you have served to the outside of our community, for people on the outside of our community. When you have served others during the week, we want you to put your salty service card in the plate. And please remember to do that. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? You did? Okay, if we could open up to the insert for the opening words. When the world divides us, come, Holy Spirit, make us one. When the world calls us orphaned, come, Holy Spirit, make us family. When the world leads us astray, come, Holy Spirit, call us home. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill this place. And then let us pray. May we feel your presence this day, Holy Spirit, like the people gathered on that day of Pentecost. May you rush into our hearts and inebriate our souls. May we be empowered by your Spirit to live a life more faithful to God. Amen.
And we've got one quick change. We're going to change the first hymn to page number 572 in your hymnals, and we'll sing Pass It On. To number 886 in your hymnals, we'll have our affirmation of faith. And there is a page turn in this thing.
Yes.
believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort.
We believe, God help our unbelief.
We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible use of the earth's resources.
Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace.
We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come.
Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Coming up, we have a number of babies in the audience, but they're too little to come up here on their own. Don't talk about the choir like that. Oh, here he comes. Here we go. Here we go. Look at that. Well, we're going to talk about Pentecost, and maybe babies should be included in Pentecost. All right, looky here. All right, I want you to turn your direction, your face, to all these candles up here that are lit. Does that make you think of anything? What do these candles look like to you? Can you tell me what these candles look like to you? Do they look like a birthday cake or something like that? Don't we have candles on a birthday cake? You might consider this, sometimes we think of Pentecost as the birthday of the church, because that's when the Holy Spirit came to all the believers, and they were transformed. The Holy Spirit gave them new life through the breath of the Spirit. Now, I don't know if you knew this. What do you think? How does this fire get going? How does this fire get going? A spark? Well, we just talked about passing it on. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. But the thing you need for that is oxygen. You need oxygen in order to start a fire. And that way, your light will burn. These little ones didn't have enough oxygen, so they burned out. There was no oxygen in them. So that's what happened to the little ones. But all the rest of these candles are burning because they have God's breath, oxygen, in them. And you and I have God's breath in us. And we are transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. And all things are made possible through the breath of the Spirit. We have power to do things that we would not be able to do otherwise. And one of those things we have the power to do with the Holy Spirit is to bridge our differences and to be one church, holy and apostolic. And that's what we bids and pray. We do give thanks, O God, for your Spirit in each one of us. Help us to live lives empowered by your Spirit, that we may be for the world the power of your love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Now we need candy. So the babies don't get candy. Just Sarah. We continue to serve God and worship through the presentation of our tithes and offerings. Will the ushers please come and wait on us? Let us pray. Help us to live as your transformed people, O God, through the breath of your Spirit. When it blows, O God, in Jesus' name we pray.
With this song we're going to bring to you this morning, it's a song you may have heard part of it, so we would invite you to sing along if you feel the Spirit moving you. It's a call and response, much of it, so as you'll hear me sing a line, you feel free to sing it back at me, especially if your last name is Porterfield.
This is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be exceedingly glad. I will lift up my eyes, from whence cometh my help? Coming from the Lord, great God Almighty, will never fail. I can't help but tell what he's done for me, how he lifted my soul and gave me victory. I'm gonna keep on singing. I'm gonna keep on shouting, shouting. I'm gonna keep on lifting my voice. The Lord knows that this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be exceedingly glad. I will lift up my eyes. From the Lord, great God Almighty, that will never fail. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the hills sing, let the sea roll by. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the hills sing, for the sea roll by.
The day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
Amen. Amen to the choir. Amen to the director. Amen to both directors. And the piano. And to the congregation. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer, spending just a few moments in silence. If you would close your eyes and bow your heads and take a couple deep breaths. Whatever is worrying you or causing you stress or tension, just let it melt away. And feel the Holy Spirit moving inside this place and moving inside your heart, moving inside your lives as disciples. And make your prayer known, whether silently or aloud today, with the name of a person, a place in the world, or a situation in life. The needs to have the power of God's healing love today in a very special way. Let us go to God in prayer.
Bob Tower.
A wind upon the waters. From the time of creation, you have been breathing new life into the universe. Breathe your spirit into us so that we might be made new. With new hearts open to loving our neighbor, new minds open to new ways of thinking. And may our own spirits today be renewed by your spirit within us, so that we might experience hope, joy,
and peace in you. It is in your name and using your words that we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
If you'd stand and turn to page 404 in your hymnals. We'll sing Every Time I Feel the Spirit.
The reading of the scriptures this morning is out of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and in your pew Bibles, that actually starts on page 144. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lord, for getting me through that.
I brought my bottle of water just in case that fire gets a little out of hand that's up there. And I also needed to mention to you, which I neglected to do, was that we were asking for a special offering for three of our youth to go to camp this summer. We have three of our youth. And camp has gone quite up in price, quite a bit up in price since I was going to camp in those days at Leesburg. And so we want to help out our children go, make this trip possible for them. And so I'm going to invite you for the next couple of weeks, if you feel led to do so, to make a special contribution in order that we can send three of our youth to camp this summer. I'll tell you who they are: Bradley Wilson, Megan Kajir, and John Bryant. We want them all to be able to go this summer to camp. It's John's first time. Bradley and Megan are going back again. But we want to make this possible for them. So if you would remember that, I'm sorry I forgot it at the offering time, but if you would remember that for the next couple of weeks, we will get them there to camp this summer in July. One of my brother's oldest friends is an industrial scientist. One day, a number of years ago, when he had a small child, a six-year-old boy, he was sitting in the back seat of his car eating an apple. And suddenly he poked his father in the shoulder and he said, "Dad, why does my apple turn brown?" And his father, being the scientist, said, "When the skin is removed from the apple, air reaches the flesh of the apple and causes oxidation. This changes the apple's molecular structure and results in the brownish color." The boy thought about this for a moment, and then he said, "Dad, are you talking to me?" Frequently, the meaning of the universe seems shrouded in mystery, and all too often, those of us who are reputed to know something of the truth speak in the unknown tongues of impenetrable scientific complexity, or, as the case may be, serenely spiritual elitism. Did you know what I just said? No. No. That's the problem with that, right? Among the many things we can celebrate and learn on Pentecost is the fact that it was God's desire that all people have the opportunity to understand the truth about Jesus Christ, that all should hear the truth in their own language, that all truth should be revealed to all people in as plain and simple a language as possible. Let me share with you again these words. "And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, 'Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" Well, I'm going to talk to you this morning about two forms of heresy that plagued the early church from the beginning. And each of these forms of heresy finds its modern-day equivalent. They sound familiar to us. So let me share with you these two forms of heresy. There are those who claim that the world will end with an apocalyptic bang and say they are able to decipher the prediction of these things in the book of Revelation and other scriptures, and we call them Montanists. That's the name of the heresy. In the early second century, the Montanists were devoted to the Holy Spirit-inspired prophecies of three charismatic leaders, one of which was named Montanus. Besides believing that they had a direct line to God, they decided that Jesus was coming to Phrygia, and it was going to be bloody, and it was going to be next week. They were wrong. And anybody who claims to know when is wrong. At the other end of the spectrum, there were Gnostics. And this was in the first century through the fourth century. And it's a label for all sorts of folks who could, along with us today, say that they were more spiritual than religious. The idea of this was that the Gnostics had secret knowledge that existed that only the elite knew. The initiated could have access to. The various groups did not agree on what that secret knowledge was, just that it existed, and that their group, of course, was the few folks who knew what it was, that the great mass of the rest of us were ignorant and unwashed and did not have a chance in heaven to get there. So the early church countered these notions by pointing out some very important Pentecostal ideas. This is what Pentecost is about. God's Spirit came to send the church out into the world to preach the gospel to everyone, not just the few, not just the initiated, and rather than falling on a select few, it was made manifest to everyone. And instead of being hidden, the Christian story was shouted from the mountaintops, praise God, for all to hear in a language they could understand. The first Pentecost was designed to make sure nothing was hidden from anyone, that everyone got a chance to hear the good news of God's love for all God's people. Now, I have to bring up John Wesley in this. It was said that for a time, John Wesley lived in a boarding house, and that after writing a sermon, he would get the teenaged maid, the young woman who was maid in the boarding house, to sit on the steps while he practiced his sermon for her. And he would rewrite anything that she did not understand. Now, I've read a few of Wesley's sermons, and that was one smart teenager. She was smarter than I am. But Martin Luther is also said to say something like, though there are many professors and other learned people in the front of the church, I preach to the milkmaid in the back pew. If they understand me, everyone understands. The church is called to talk to anyone who is seeking to know and understand God's love. Did you hear me say that? The church is called to talk to anyone who is seeking to know and understand God's love. And we don't have a corner on that market, my friends. We, too, are in the process of becoming. We, too, are in the process of understanding. We too are in the process of knowing our relationship with God. We are no different than brothers and sisters who are out on the street, who also seek to know and understand and hear the good news of Christ's love. That call is to all of us, not just to those of us who stand in the pulpit or inside the walls of this church. Today we pray that the Spirit will come upon us and help us to make plain to the world the wonderful good news that God is love and God loves all. It's as simple and as plain as that. Amen and amen.
Let's stand and turn in our hymnals to page 500. Sing, Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5.
You know, sometimes when we're singing, it's hard to get enough breath to finish the note that we're singing. And that's when we need to call upon God for breath to God's Spirit to inspire us, to empower us, to send us out into the world. You know, this church has a lot of potential, and I can't even begin to imagine what we could do if we let the Spirit work in us, if we let the Spirit breathe in us, what we could do for the sake of the world that God loves. God loves that world out there, not just us in here, and wants us so much to tell our story to the world of God's love. It's something that we should pass on. It is something that doesn't remain inside, but is passed on. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and power of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in His peace. Amen.
Thank you. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. Please use your turn.